Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line?
Yes, sir, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
We're here.
Amen. We thank God for another Thursday. So we're going to get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
But Sheila, we on last week finished up with asking our callers and participants how the Lord helped them to keep going. And we had some powerful statements, people sharing and calling in. And it seems like people are starting to take traction about how, you know, the road has ups and downs, but, you know, with the help of the Lord, we can keep going. And I think week by week, you know, and day by day, I think the church is understanding that when God said go, that it was necessary for us to carry out that command in spite of the things that we endure. And so as we hear testimony and see people and understand, you know, this is how God wants us to work, we can look at the Bible in our Bible study and in our study as a group and individually and understand that God puts characters and people and examples in the Bible to help us to keep going, to help us to say, hey, this is what went on with Peter, this went on with John, this went on with Saul, or this went on with Abraham or whoever, but they kept on going. And so I found that to be interesting on last week of how, in spite of all the challenges, people of God just keep on going with the help of the Lord. Sheila G.
Amen. And part of the reason
that we're able to keep on going is because with all the challenges we have, if you're close to God and if you're really establishing that relationship with Him, you get stronger. It builds character.
Mm-hmm.
Start, you know, when you see the Lord show off in your life, show off, then you're ready for, you know that life's not going to be perfect, but you know that whatever challenge comes your way, as long as you put your trust and your faith in Him, He's going to bring you through. And as you build that character, you pull on those past victories. Yes, some of the challenges come harder at you, but by the same token, you're no longer on that milk. You have that meat, so you're stronger to fight the demons that come in, that come to attack you.
Amen. And I often look at you and Dr. G and see the challenges that you come through, in particular with your daughter Jessica, and
yeah.
and how when she was born with challenges. And how you all, Dr. G, you all just kept going, trusting the Lord. And it was a thing of your faith in God and His strength to keep you going. And I look at things like that, and I see, you know, everyone that has trusted God through those challenges, because they just kept on going. They might have had a moment here or there, where they were down or where they were frustrated or they were struggling, but they found a way to keep on going, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. I think it's a thing where those persons that really have that have made up in their minds that they're going to trust the Lord no matter what, you know, they have kind of grown up a little bit more so than others in Christ. And their faith is so that, you know, they can't be shaken by obstacles, by sickness, by death or whatever. Because we realize that, you know, in the Bible, the Lord never promised that every day was going to be an easy day. But He
did indeed.
He would be there with us every step of the way. And when we get to a point where you can trust that and you see His hand, and you see His handiwork, is right there. His grace and His mercy continues to cover us, and the Spirit leads us in God. But it takes growth. It takes a lot of faith.
Amen. What's Jessica? She's in her third year of college now?
Yeah, she's their second semester of her third year of college.
And just to look back and see how she just kept on going and keeps on going and all the challenges that she faces, like, you know, you look at that and you're like, wow, a young person that's going through all of that. And even with what she goes through, she's still proclaiming the word of God.
Right.
She's
boldly.
Still being a testimony. And you understand God more and more as you walk with Him and live with Him, that, you know, had not she having to go through this, the lives that she touched or touches may not be the same. But we talked about it last week about the assignment. The assignment hasn't changed. And so everybody has an assignment. And sometimes we don't like the assignment,
right.
But that doesn't negate the fact that it's still our assignment. And so, as we look at these next verses in chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, we see that the reason why God wants us to keep going is because there's people that we touch or we come in contact with during our assignment. And God wants to use us to minister to people in situations where we find them where they're at, or God wants to find them where they're at. And so a lot of times in order for God to find people where they are, like Jesus went to the well, he met a woman of Samaria. He could have went the shortcut around the Samaria, but God had him go through to meet this woman at the well. And as he met her at the well, he ministered to her, and then she went and ministered to others.
Right.
And so, you know, we see that when God gives us these tough assignments, sometimes we might have our lip poked out and we might have little tube going on. We might feel have a tendency to feel sorry for ourselves, but the assignment is for God to reach people that need Him, and that He would get the glory. Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, and that's so true. When I think about the position that God has put me in, from a work standpoint, when about 5 years ago, I had been on my job for 13 years. Making big money, comfortable, in management, everything. Mm-hmm. But then like, for 2 years, things just got disrupted, and they got disrupted because I refused to fall for the okey-doke, that I was like, I'm not changing my character. I'm protecting my team. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And mm-hmm. I remember the day that I lost my job, they let me go. We had Bible study, and I remember it coming to the church at Bible study saying that I was blessed because I got released from my job today, but I know that God had it, even though I went through that mess for 2 years of holding on to mm-hmm. God's hand. Well, here 5 years later, as a consultant, mm-hmm. I've gone to many, many different companies and many different clients, and every client that they had, there's someone there, whether it's a younger person or an older person, that I have indirectly, because of the way that I live, I'm like, I don't put it out there that, you know, my husband's a pastor and everything, but somehow it comes up and people say there's something about me, and we end up start talking about the Lord. And every single client, mm-hmm. there has been someone that I'm still in touch with that's like on that little, you know, I believe in the Lord, but I need to step up my faith. So I'm able to and encourage them. Now, had I stayed in that comfortable job where I'd been around people mm-hmm. for 13 years, I wouldn't have been able to indirectly minister these people. And it's not so much that I'm bringing them to new birth or anything like that, but I'm able to encourage them in the works of the Lord and help to encourage their faith. And a lot of them have actually started going, like they'd been out of church for a while, so they started going mm-hmm. back. Church, but they're kind of discouraged with their personal things that are going on in their personal life. So I'm able to, you know, help them to build up their faith and just trust that God's going to work things out. And had I not gone through that mess before, mm-hmm. lost my job, but through it all, I trusted Him. I had faith in Him. He gave me a 10-month break, and He immediately put me back to work in a position where I can go from job to job to place and share the goodness mm-hmm. of the Lord.
Amen. It's awesome, and again, that's your assignment, you know. And it might not to you at first look like, you know, the best assignment, but it worked out so that you can be effective witness for God, and that God would receive the glory. And that brings us to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and beginning at verse 26, and at verse 26, it goes through a story about Philip and the Ethiopian, Philip, a servant of God, and his role or his assignment with God was to go to a desert road. And as I was looking at this in the NIV and the King James Version, it's like, you know, what an assignment for God to take. Yeah, I need you to go to a desert road. And you know, we can get an attitude immediately, or he's like, no, that's not for me. And I think sometimes, Dr. G, you know, people in ministry, we want that rosy, you know, cushy position. And when God gives us a rough road in the desert, sometimes we like to push back. It's sort of like when God told Jonah to go down to Nineveh and mm-hmm. preach to those rebellious folks down there. He said, I ain't going. Dr. G.
Well, you know, the flesh will definitely do that. When we get to a point where, you know, what's the use? So we've made up in our mind we want to go where we want to go, want to do what we want, and we forget that God is still large and in charge, and He sends us where we can be used the most. He puts us in places with people and in situations. And as Sheila was talking, you know, we just don't understand, especially when we've been good servants and we've done everything right, and then things begin to happen. But there's no logical reason for it. But when God says he wants you to go, best thing you just say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me.
Amen. And so here we are with Philip, and you know, he had to be yielded to God. And when we're reading in NIV verse 26, Acts 26, it says, "Now angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now many folks, you would get attitude right away. Nah, that wasn't the Lord. He wouldn't tell me to go south to the desert, to the desert road, to leave Jerusalem, my comfy zone. Nah. I'm good. You know, that messes with somebody else. You know, even though we know it's the Lord that's telling them to go, Sheila G.
Amen. And you know, and it's things like that. Sometimes we want to, and this is so true of Christians, you'll find that the Christians want to talk and testify to each other. So I'm comfortable talking to somebody that knows God that I know. Not comfortable going into a part of town or out on the street or talking to a stranger on a train or about the Lord, because it's like, okay, well, now I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm not sure of myself, but I only want to talk to people that are like-minded, and that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust in him. He'll tell us what to do and what to say and who to say it to, and he's not always going to put us in a comfortable situation, because that's what he had to do. He went out with the sinners and the publicans.
Amen.
Amongst them, even though the Pharisees were like, wait a minute, we're the ones that know the word and everything, but that's how God does. He sends us where we are needed, and we have to accept the fact that sometimes it is right there down the street in a neighborhood that we may not be comfortable with. That's
right.
Why I always say the church, we have to go beyond the walls. We have to get out of the walls of just testifying to each other and really truly talk to those that are in need that may not know. And that doesn't mean we got to hit them with the Bible or hit them with the cross.
No.
Sometimes
no.
Just sharing your life. Like I said, on my job now, half the time people don't know, but somehow, some way they come up and start talking. And then whenever that opportunity presents itself,
right,
I share about the Lord, but I don't share it like, you know, like I'm a potentate. It's just that I'm just talking to people just where they are. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go out into the highways, the byways, get uncomfortable, and that will allow people to be comfortable with the Lord by us sharing with them.
Amen. I mean, I'm going to read that verse in the King James, verse 26. He said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem," in other words, get out your comfort zone, unto Gaza, which is desert. it's just like, okay, it's your assignment. And you might not like it, but he didn't say you were going to like it or you have to like it. It's going to be desert.
Reminds me of Pastor C. I'm going to tell on my husband, but he shared this story before many times. As you know, we were always in church in Maryland. You know, when he was assistant pastor, he was assistant pastor to New Hope. He was a founder at New Hope, and it was in Maryland. So as he was ordained and was growing and developing in his ministry, he always thought, you know, he knew God was going to call him the pastor, but he just didn't know when, where, or how. But he always assumed that God was going to call him to pastor someplace, a church somewhere in Maryland. And what does he do? The church that he'd been filling in on in August, on every August when the pastor would take off, Pastor G would, like, come on the fourth Sunday to do communion. So he sends him to pastor a church in D.C. And I'm telling you, when God called him to pastor New Birth, he was like, I never would have thought, or send me
D.C. And when we went in D.C., the Northwest wasn't like it was like it is now. It was
I know.
And it was a church where the pastor had just quit because he couldn't take it no more. So he was going in. It wasn't even like, you know, a pastor was retiring, and so he was just handing the church over to him, blah, blah. No.
Right,
it was
right.
Like, D.C., and you're going to a place where it's a hot mess. And when I read that, I mean, I'm there how he had to pull on his face to follow what the Lord was telling him. But he was honest. He was like, that wasn't what I was thinking. God told me he was going to call me the pastor.
Amen. Amen. And you know, you pick these, as you study these verses, and it's like, okay, we just had a good time in Jerusalem, and we just had a great time, and now God says, all right, now I need you to go to the desert, buddy, bro. I need you to go get a little dirty, and in reading this, we see that his next move in verse 25 says, I'm sorry, in verse 27 in the King James, he says, and he arose and went. And in the NIV, it says, so he started out. And that, Dr. G, to me, is the biggest challenge to anybody. I don't care where you are, what you're doing, whether you're in ministry, whether it's in family or work or whatever, is to get going. To take that first step, to get to a place where you're saying, hey, I'm going to take it one day at a time, one step at a time, but I know if I start one step, that's going to put me into motion, because that's the hardest thing to do is once you stop. And I see this with many people in ministry, many people, preachers, pastors, Christians, is once they stop, it's hard to get that thing back into motion. And so we see Philip, he started, he went, he got the assignment and he started and immediately, and he didn't get complacent. He didn't stay at a standstill and say, well, I'll get to it next week, or I'll get to it. But he started, and I think, Dr. D, that's one of the challenges in ministry is when we, and that's what we talked about last week, how do we keep on going? And so here Philip kept on going because he started. He didn't stay stagnant, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. The hardest thing is to get going. Especially when the Lord tells us to do something that we just don't really feel, to actually start out. And what I love about Philip, he didn't think long. He just got up and went. And find that once we do that, you know, we have a chance of of staying on the journey, doing what we're supposed to do. But if you begin to think about it and rationale, you know, that first step is going to get harder and harder.
Amen.
Amen. And Sheila G, you see people that they miss church one Sunday.
Right.
And then they'll miss it another Sunday, and they go a couple Sundays, and then next thing you know, it becomes easier and easier to miss, you know, Bible study or prayer service.
Right.
And that's when the enemy can throw up that smoke screen and distract them. And then they, like Dr. G said, they rationalize. But it seems like that is it becomes easier, or you don't feel conviction as much once
right,
you stop. Sheila G.
Amen. Yeah, it's one of those things where you start to justify where. And then that's when you start making excuses. I mean, at the end of the day, that's all it is we're making excuses because we don't want to do the. I mean, our heart is there, like you want to do the Lord, but you don't want to make that commitment. You don't want to make that full 100% commitment to the Lord that whatever God tells me to do, even when I don't feel like going, when I'm feeling down or when I'm sleepy, where I want to put the covers over my head, I'm going to get myself up, get in that bathroom. I've heard many a member say that, where when they first woke up, they were in pain,
hurting, didn't feel like going, but I said, you know what? Let God at least let me feel the pain. So let me get my butt up, get
right
in here, come to church. When they get to church, and that's their testimony. I feel so much better when I got here. But like you said, it's getting up and going. And what happens is you when you stop, then it gets comfortable. Then it's excuse. Then the next thing you know, you're justifying it. Well, my church is dry, or I don't like the people there. Sister so and so rolled their eyes at me the other day.
Yeah.
Or the pastor, every time he preaches, he's talking about me specifically. You know, it's like, you know, come on. You're going to church for the Lord. You're not going for man anyway. So if you truly are connected with God, you can see that that's just a conduit up there. That's not, if it's not of God, you can't receive it. But if it is of God, yeah, sometimes it's a two-edged sword and he's stepping on your toes. So you have to receive it that way. But people will use that as an excuse, that every time I go there, the pastor preaches, he's talking about me, or Sister so-and-so did this or that, and our church, and there is no perfect church. So that excuse just goes out the door, because you may as well stay home for real, because you're not going to find a church that's perfect. But you need to go there not for man, but go there for God. And then you just get comfortable, and that's just a trick of the enemy. It's like, you don't need that. Be a bedside Baptist, turn the TV on, and keep it moving.
Amen. And that is like you said, a trick of the enemy to keep you from going, to keep you from going that step. And the enemy's smooth about it. He'll suck you into that, and it'll be everybody else's problem why you can't make it to church.
Exactly.
And you'll be thinking yourself righteous.
Yep.
But one of the things we talked about last week was we had to get ourselves out of the way. And
right.
I think that is a challenge also. The first challenge is to keep on going. And the other thing is, in order for me to keep on going, is I got to get me out of the way. And sometimes it's difficult because we like me.
Yes.
Everybody like me. Everybody like, let's keep it real. Everybody like me. Everybody like self. Everybody, you know, is human. And we got some selfishness going with us.
Yes,
but
we do.
In order to work in the ministry of the Lord, we got to get me together. We got to get me out of the way because me will keep me from carrying out my assignment. And so what Philip did, back to the word, is he got up, and this is verse 26, and he went toward the verse 27. He said, "Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and the Candace queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship." And so what God is showing Philip is, as you continue to go, as you get yourself out of the way, then God will begin to start revealing what he wants you to do. And that was one of the things that I learned, Dr. G, with Abram, before his name was Abraham, is that God told him to get up and go to a place that I'll show you. But he told him to go before he told him where he was going.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, it's like, okay, I'm going to have faith. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, and God counted to him as righteousness. In other words, in ministry, if you get up and get to going, and if you get yourself out of the way, then God will begin to reveal that stuff to you, what you need to do. And he's revealing it to you because he knows that you're trusting him. And because you made that step to go, because you made that step to get yourself out of the way, now God says, okay, now this is what I want you to do. Now that I see that you're in the right frame, now that you're in the right mode, let me show you what it is. And in Philip's case, he's going to a person with great authority. In other words, he's going to someone with great authority that's in a position of power. And God is letting Philip know that, hey, this person might be of great authority, but you're on a great assignment to witness to somebody with great authority that has a reach over the queen's whole dominion, over her whole province. And so if you could reach this person with great authority that's directly under the queen that has great dominion, you can affect so many other people's lives if you reach this one person. And that's what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want us to get in that right frame of mind, get self out of the way, be led by God to a place where we can reach one person that has great authority, that has the ability to reach other people's, because the God knows that if we can reach one person, that person has the ability to be able to reach so many more. And so here's Philip's assignment in a desert place, goodness gracious alive, to be able to reach this one person who's a eunuch that's over the authority of the queen, to be able to reach that person, tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know if that person has authority under the queen, that he's going to tell somebody else about this Jesus that can save anybody. Dr. G.
Well, you know, that takes me back to when a couple of years ago when our furnace died and we were forced to have to get a new HVAC system. And during that time, initially I had no idea what we were going to do or where we were going to worship. But then the Lord told me that I had all this room in my basement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I first bought the house, had no idea the basement was going to be used as a sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And we converted that basement to a sanctuary.
Yeah.
And we had church there for the duration of what it took to get the new HVAC in and everything up and running. But I say that because God had to use that furnace to help show some people that, you know, it's still all about him.
Right.
And we have to move self out the way, be obedient. Now, I had no idea how it would work out. Mm-hmm. I didn't know who was going to show up, but Sunday after Sunday, that had high time, the basement was full. We didn't miss a beat.
Nope.
And we kept drawing people who wanted to come. Now, this was new for a lot of those folks, coming to a church service in a basement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's strange. You talk about the desert, that was the desert. And we had no idea what God was going to do, but he blessed. And, I mean, you know, I provided coffee for him, and we had services, and then when it was over with, everybody went home. And it even woke up some of the folk in the neighborhood because they wondered what all these cars were doing out here time of morning. So, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. We just have to be obedient. And you're right, the enemy is going to try everything he can to keep God's program from going forward. But if he can just find someone who will be obedient, get up, start going, and you're right, then he will begin to reveal to you what it is that he wants you to do. I didn't know what he wanted, but as we got going, then he showed me.
Amen.
Amen. Sheila G.
Amen. And it's true when he takes back to that. And I even go, the reason why God was able to do that, you know, we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years of him being pastor at New Birth, was because initially, like I said, I told you the circumstance and how it was unexpected where God was sending him to pastor. But he went, and he stood on that wall. He went knowing, like you said, not knowing what the end's going to be, not knowing what 25 years later is going to be. He went knowing by hearing from the pastor that quit mouth that it's a mess over there.
Amen.
And he talked to the board or whatever, and they selected him to be pastor. But he still went, not knowing, definitely knowing it was a mess, but not knowing what God's plan was to clean it up. And there were many times where he had to stand on that wall, and there were times where he stood alone. But because he stood faithful, because he didn't waver when people were trying to do the whole popularity contest and the clicks and the forcefulness and dictate and run the church and want him just to be a figurehead, because he stood on God's word, like you said, the word got out.
people started coming in. Those that God had there for a season were there for a season, but then he moved mm-hmm. those out and replaced them, and here it's still standing. And it's stronger, mm-hmm. more powerful, but it's more powerful because of his faithfulness in taking that first step. One, going when it didn't make sense. Two, trusting the Lord and stepping out on faith. There were many different situations that happened, because even in the midst of the whole thing with the HVAC, we had a bad mm-hmm. snow and the roof came in, you know?
So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was like still trusting, still having joy and growing from all of those challenges. And that's when we're reading this, I see that. And it would have been wonderful to fast forward 25 years and say, okay, it's going to work out. It's going to be like this. Have time, you're going to be able to look back and say, look what God brought us through. But when you're going through it, you have nothing but the faith of the Lord. But then slowly but surely, you see how God is using that situation to help draw others and to grow and bring others to church. And by having that faith, that allows people to see that, okay, it's unwavering. It's not, I'm just having faith when things are wonderful. But even when it's tough, I'm still standing on God's word, and that's what makes a difference.
Amen, amen. And you know, those are the things that God he lets us know are important to him. And you know that, you know, like I go back to Abram before his name was changed to Abraham, he understood that if he trusted God, God would show him. Same thing with Moses, you know, when God told him to go tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And, you know, he had all kind of excuses. And you can go character by character by character to see that God is honoring people's faith. He honors our faith. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we continue to walk by faith and not by sight, and trust God that he'll reveal it to us in time, and be willing to go to the desert place,
mm-hmm.
God will show you the greatness of his ministry, and that
right.
he wants to greatly use you, that he will be greatly praised. And here's Philip going to this fellow of Ethiopia, and, you know, Jerusalem is in a part of the Middle East, and Ethiopia is in a part of Africa. And, you know, there's some distance that he had to travel. And we don't see here that he's complaining about it. And the Spirit of God in this story does miraculous things. And when you're going and you're getting yourself out of the way and you're trusting God to reveal to you what he wants you to do, then the Spirit of God is free to be able to do these miraculous things in your life. And he lines things up and places people and things in your life that his will can be done and ministry can be done. And when the Lord's plan is done, it's a great miracle. Things happen and the gospel can be progressed and people can be saved. And he has to prepare us, though. We have to go through some things sometimes. Again, Moses went through, and Abraham went through, and Paul went through, and you know, Jesus ultimately, when he came to minister, and is roughly 3.5 years of ministry before he started his earthly ministry, he was led by the Spirit out into mm-hmm. the wilderness, be tempted and tested of the devil. And you know, that's just God's plan. You know, I don't want to put any sugar coat on it, give anybody any, you know, chocolate ice cream or banana splits or anything like that. That's just the way God prepares his servants, is to get them ready, to make sure that they're focused, make sure that they got self out of the way, make sure they're trusting in him, because God has great assignments for them to carry out. And once Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and God said, "Lo, you know, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." And you know, God wants us to show our faithfulness, and he wants to be pleased with our effort toward ministry. And I think sometimes people forget, you know, that God deserves the glory, and that you know, he's greatly to be praised, and that we have God on our side, and he's given us a command, and if we are faithful and committed and obedient, that great things can be done. And whether you have to travel distances, whether you have to go to a desert place, whether you have to minister where you don't want to be ministering, we say to God be the glory. And you know, that was one of the things that the psalmist of Israel, David, said, that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continue to be in my mouth. He said that the Lord was his shepherd, and he shall not want. He said that, you know, we can continue to fret not ourselves because of evildoers, because they will soon be cut off. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And you know, he said, though a host should encamp against me, he said, in this will I be confident. And when you begin to have the Lord God on your side and inside of you, and you're ministering with him, what happens is great things will be accomplished for the Lord. And Philip, he went right away to a man of Ethiopian eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen, and who was in charge of her treasure, and he ministered to this fellow who was trying to know the word of God, trying to know who this God was. And so if you look at verse 28 of this 8th chapter, you see that this Ethiopian eunuch was trying to know the word of God. And the thing that I liked about this in this verse, Sheila, is it doesn't give the name of the Ethiopian eunuch. It gives the name of the queen, but it doesn't give the name of the Ethiopian. In other words, God, he's not focusing in on the name of the person that is going to minister. But he focuses on the act of Philip's obedience and the acts of Philip carrying out this great ministry to someone who was trying to know God for themselves. And, you know, faith comes by hearing of the word of God. And it says, how can they hear except you have a preacher? And so here this fellow is reading a part of the Bible of Isaiah. And God sent him to that someone. No, don't know, Bible doesn't give his name, but that lets you know that every person is important to God. And God will send someone to be able to explain, to preach and teach his word. And so he says in verse 28, was returning and sitting in the chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. And in verse 29 says, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran and tithered to him in verse 30 and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what thou readest. And in verse 31 he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And so all of this, go to this desert place, talk to this man, don't know his name, but he's in great authority under the queen, is trying to know God. And God needs you to be able to go by the Spirit and minister to him so that he would understand the word of God. And that just lets you know, Sheila, that God has his eye. Amen. It says, the song says that, you know, his eye is on the sparrow. And I know that he watches me. In other words, even the person that we might not think, amen, would come to know God, needs someone to share it with them. Sheila G.
Amen. And this is why the ministry is very, very important. And it's why that our ministers, our pastors need to understand that it's not about us. It's not about the glory. It's about helping those that have a desire that to know there's something out there to help them to grow and get off the milk and onto the meat. You know, our pastor in the last year, Pastor G, has really been pushing prayer service and Bible study, pushing it. And we see a growth in people getting on the prayer line and people dialing into Bible study and Sunday school. Our Sunday school is growing. But he's pushing it not so much to have bodies, but because there is a desire out there, just like this eunuch, where he's like, I want to understand the word.
Yeah.
Philip
came
to him, and he's saying, but it's reading this Bible and trying to understand, I can't do it on my own. So God provided Philip, and that's kind of what has happened with our pastor here at New Birth. It's like God is speaking to him, and it may not be popular to be nagging people to dial in prayer service, get Bible study, Sunday school. But now that they started doing it, now you see the growth in them. Now you see them starting to understand what the true word of God is. And that is what the role of the minister, the pastor is to help those people that have that desire, just like this eunuch, to understand it, but need that help, need that guidance, need that push. Break it down for me. Help me to understand it so then turn can apply it to my life, and then I can help others. It's the same thing here.
Amen, amen. Dr. G, you want to chime in on that before we go to the phone line?
Yeah, because, you know, I was sitting there thinking, not only, you know, Sheila calls it nagging, but I call it encouraging. because there's been a lot of things where, you know, we've tried to get people committed enough to be a part of the prayer service, even Bible study and Sunday school. I mean, at one point, you know, Sunday school years ago was pretty good, but you still had the faithful few. And, you know, the Lord told me not to stop doing what I'm doing, just to encourage. And, you know, I put it in the bulletin. We make references. We make emphasis of it during the worship service. And, you know, we even gotten to the point where people are bringing their kids now. We've been able to start a class. So, you know, all of these things, and I was sharing with Sheila today, you know, the conference line or the prayer service, now, you know, we're getting about a good 10 to 12 people every week, where before it was less than that. And God will encourage the pastors, preachers, to stay your course. Do what I tell you to do. I know you don't want to, as Sheila said, nag folk, but because of what a lot of folk have gone through as far as with churches and they've been church hurt, they need something or somebody. They need a place where they can come and feel good about themselves. No one's going to judge them, but we are going to push you know, push that word. We're going to push them to be a part of prayer. We're going to push them that, you know, you need to get up a little bit earlier and come to Sunday school. And when they do these things, they find that, you know, it's not boring, it's not hectic, but it's really informative and people are enjoying it. And, you know, along with that, you know, for years, when the Lord began to take people away from the church, you know, finances dropped. And pretty much Sheila and I had to carry the load. And this year, with the people that the Lord has been sending, I mean, there was something like three or four Sundays straight. After preaching, you know, I would get anywhere from one to two new people to come and join the church. And they were excited about it. But during the church meeting, before the church meeting, the Lord told me, because, you know, we've had a problem with those D.C. rats, and they find a way to get into the church. So we had to bring the exterminator in. And the exterminator showed us what to do, where to go plug up holes and all of that. So I made pictures. The Lord told me, take pictures. I printed pictures. I put a nice little packet together. We had reports. We had the financial status, and we showed them where all of the money was going. We showed them where the downfall was for the year. And at the end of the packet, I had pictures of where the rats were coming in. I had pictures of the contract for the exterminator. And then at the end of that, I put a packet in there about tithing and trying to get understanding. And I basically came out, Lord told me, ask. Tell them we need everything. going to increase their giving, point blank. And for the last couple of weeks, it's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So
Amen.
That when we are obedient to the Lord, God knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
No, we
Amen.
Didn't know all. You know, we're just trying to make it from Sunday to Sunday, from day to day. But when you put your faith and you put your trust in the Lord, God will take you to places and do things that you can't even imagine. And he'll give you that Holy Ghost boldness to do it.
Amen.
And God tells you, do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my packets, you know, church meetings for the last, 10 years or so, it's been an hour. And people that have never been in church meetings were excited to be a part of,
mm-hmm.
of a meeting and to be able to see where, okay, funds are going, to see what the organizations,
Amen.
And then to get recommendations and to hear what the pastor intends to do at the end of the church. And, you know, we put some other things in place, and not one person had a negative comment. It was
Amen.
All positive.
Amen.
You know, and so I give credit to the Lord for that. Whereas before, when I first started, you know,
oh,
it was just, you got to go into the church meeting ready to fight. And through standing still for 5 years, I mean, I tell folks now, I can share with folks, look, I'm enjoying pastoring
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
I don't have Negroes when I have to beat folk over the head. I tell them what the Lord says, and either you do it or you don't. And I've watched
yeah.
how when people, you know, you were all were talking about when they pull back or when they miss a few Sundays, you know, and I just go and pray on them. And I let the Lord
Amen.
Convict and do whatever he has to do to get people's attention. So God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
We have to get self out of the way and let the
Amen.
Lord's work go.
Amen.
And if we could ever understand that, we would be so much happier people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That's all right. We want to go to the phone line, give people a chance to make some comments. And I just want to ask a question about the desert. Has God ever brought you out of a desert? And if he brought you out, then he had to allow you to go through it. And just real quick, I want to ask the question, if God ever brought you out of the desert? We're going to go to the first caller, last four digits, 1741, 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
Amen.
Yes, God has brought me out of the desert. He also sent me to the desert, and it's okay. That's where
Amen.
I grow. That's where I grow. We ask the Lord, and we tell him we want to serve him. And so we have to be true when we say that. And God put us sometime in these uncomfortable positions so that not only we help others, but it help us to grow spiritually too. And we learn from it. We learn to trust him more. When we go through difficult times, and we find out that we cannot solve that problem. Only God can handle it and take care of it. And when we release it and give it to him, then it's a victory there. We have a testimony. And so
mm-hmm.
it's these desert experiences that we grow. We pray a little bit more. We read our Bible a little bit more. We spend
mm-hmm.
a little more time with God. We realize that we're not as big as we think we are. And so it's a humbling experience to go to the desert and also
mm-hmm.
to work in the desert because through that process of working there, like I said, not only you help others, but you help yourself too. And I remember when I preached my trial sermon about lunch out into the deep, and I was thinking about
mm-hmm.
that this week. And so
mm-hmm.
a lot of times when we go in the desert, we are thirsty. We, you know, we have to depend on God for the water. He
Amen.
He restores us. He replenishes us. And it's through the prayer and his word and trust in him that our faith is built up. And in the desert, we deal with different type of people. There's sometimes danger in the desert. And so so sometimes God sends us out from our comfort zone into danger zones just to let us know that I'm with you. You're not going to always be in a safe place. Sometimes God sends us in places that are not so safe so that he can get the glory. And the thing I love, God has people everywhere that need to be saved.
Yeah.
So when we say, Lord, send me, be prepared, because we don't know where God going to send us. But you can best believe if he send you to a place, he will keep you. He will see you through. He will bring you through that trial. Whatever you go through, God will bring you through, because God going to always get the glory. He's going to get the glory out of every situation, every condition. His name is going to be glorified. And so once we humble ourselves and say, Lord, let me be the servant that I promise you that I want to be, because I can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So let the Holy Spirit guide me and lead me. Make sure that the Holy Spirit is leading you there and not you yourself. You're going to be all
That's right.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Next caller, last four digits, 6309. 6309, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. The question is, has God brought me out of the desert?
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he put me in the desert. He put me in the jungle. I done been to some places, y'all, I can tell you. But I know I was there for my own well-being and for my own betterment. God has shown me who he is, what he can do, and I made up in my mind long years ago that I was going to serve him.
Amen.
Whatever he asked me to do, I'm doing it. Whatever come up, I can handle it because I know he's there with me and he got my back. He's not going to put no more on me than I can bear. So I'm going to journey on with his help and his guidance and his love. So I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for him. I don't care when it is. I always want to come to church on Sunday. I don't miss no church
Amen.
On Sunday because I don't want
Amen.
To. I don't care how bad I feel. I get up and get out of there. And once I get in there, I'm a brand new person.
Amen.
Yeah.
I show God that I'm going to put him first. And I'm going to always put him first. After he done changed me, the things he done did for me in my life and showed me, I'm going to serve him until I die.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 3343. You're on there.
Yes, good evening. Yes, the good Lord has
good
put
evening.
Me in the desert. I've been through the desert two or three times and turned around and threw me back in there. And he kept on going. And I cried and I cried. And I said he knew all about was crying. And he went and got me a shovel, and he dug me around right in. And I've been going ever since and digging out for me. And I can't change the word of it. But he keeps changing. And every time the devil goes and thinks he's going to put me away, God come in there and get him a shovel and dig me right on out of there. I'm right on my feet and keep on going, kicking him right where he's supposed to be. And I can't sit until, I've been in the desert. And I'm out of the desert, and I'm smiling ever since.
Amen.
I'm only telling the Lord, I stay with on his road every day. Anything I ain't can't do no better, I ain't doing thing I can't do no better, I'd be doing it all right. And he dig me right on out, and I keep right on stepping. So where am I at now? I just keep my mouth closed, shut up and keep looking, and he'll dig me right out. Let me be on. Thank you, God.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And go to our next caller. Last four digits, 1712. 1712, your name.
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I had to duck and dodge somewhere so I can make sure I get on this call. Good evening.
Good evening.
God has definitely brought me through the desert. I think the thing for me is that I realize is that, you know, while I'm in the desert for whatever extended period of time, I think my faith and my mindset is really change. You know, I realized that things happen for a reason, some through the work of God, some through my own hand, why I find myself in the desert. But I think my reaction to being in the desert has become more positive and become more, okay, Lord, what do I need to gain from this? I remember the last time in the desert I was doing this, and now that I'm in the desert, it's something else going on. And I think most importantly, while you're in the desert, in order, the goal is, in order for God to move you out, you got to survive being in the desert. So I realize when I'm in the desert, I utilize those resources just as a man would look for shade, look for shelter, look for water. I read my Bible. I read my scripture. I'm going to Sunday school. I'm calling in on a prayer service. So it's basically surviving in the desert, because remember, everybody that goes in the desert doesn't come out, doesn't survive.
Right.
We have to be mindful that while God has us in the desert, our goal is to survive for however long it is we're going to be. And sometimes it's a week, days, it could be months, it could be years, whatever your desert is, whatever your duration for the desert is, you have to survive in order for God to bring you through. And when you get through, you cannot be that same person that you were as you wandered in the desert. So I've learned to utilize my resources, be positive, understand that I've been here before, God's going to get me through, but there's always something to gain. Because I can tell you now, if you're the same person coming out of the desert as you were, you're wasting God's time and you're wasting your time. You have to be different. You have to allow that desert to transform you and change you, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. You cannot be the same person when God brings you out of the desert. Because if you are, you're going to find yourself in way more desert than you want to be in. So you got to make sure, and look, and everyone you may not be able to get through. So I think for me, it's putting things in perspective, and I think someone touched on it. If I'm serious about this faith, if I'm serious about this walk, I understand that there's going to be a desert for me, you know, a couple times a year, whenever it may come. But I just need to know that when that happens, where are my resources? What am I doing to survive in the desert? What am I doing to make sure that I'm a different person coming out of the desert than I was going in it? So I think for me, that's the important part of being in the desert. Yes, God has brought me through, but every desert that I've gone through, I'm not the same spiritual version of myself as I was going in. And I think for me, that's important. I'm on this call. I know, you know, I'm definitely a different person on this call than I was when I first used to call in, because I've been through some deserts. I've been through some ups and downs, and I've made sure that intentionally I learned something from it. I became a better person from it. Even if I didn't get it right away, it may have hit me later down the line, like, you know what, God got my attention, that's what it was. Now I know how to maneuver, now I know how to move, now I know how to be, you know, spiritually where I need to be, so that I can sometimes avoid the desert. Sometimes I can see the desert coming, like, nope, I see that, let me detour over here. Or if I'm in the midst of a desert, boom, all right, I got to make sure I call in, I got to make sure I pray, I got to make sure I get my resources together, because I know there's a period coming where I'm going to have to lean on those resources. So again, for me, God has definitely brought me through the desert, but my approach while I'm going through the desert and the end result of me going through the desert for me is probably the most important part, because I recognize that I'm not that same person as I was going in, as I was coming out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. And go to the next caller. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Evening.
I have definitely been in the desert, but he always brought me out. And when you go through those kind of things in your spiritual walk, you always come out a better person than where you were before, because you think you are, I guess you say, things like this shouldn't happen to you, but it does. And you think you've got it all, and you think you know it all, and those dark clouds come, and as the song says, the bills may roll, but he has you there for a reason, and you're always tested. You're always tested, and when those storms come, and you never let go, and you continue to paste and pray and do what you know is the right thing to do. It hurts, but you know to hold on and never let go. You can't ever let go. And it's a desert. It's something that you don't want to go through, but you know you got to stand still and listen and know that he is God. And he's not going to fail you. He's not going going to let anything happen to you. And you have to allow his will to be done, not yours.
Amen.
You have to
Amen.
Be sure that he is going to get the glory.
Amen.
And the praise through all these things that go on in your life. You know who knows what's best for you.
Amen.
And you can understand these things and accept them and still be the God-fearing person that you are. It's so much easier on you than to try to ignore it or say, you know, get all pumped up and think wrong, forget who he is, and he lets you know who he is. And I always say, I don't ever want the wrath of God to come down on me, because he can be rough. He can be rough. He can put you in check. He can let you know who's the boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He has the power to straighten every little kink in your life that you think is okay. Mm-mm. When he says no, you better be on the lookout. It's not so good. It's not always pleasant. But when you can stand the pain of time, trials and tribulations in your life, and he's still the loving God that he said he is, that's when you know who's who.
Amen.
In your life, what it means to you in your life. And those are the things that you have to hold on to at all times, regardless of how bad it is or what it is. He's going to be there. He's going to love you in spite of, and he's going to let you know that I am God, and I'm God all by myself. And you better know who you are with God. Because he is mighty, he's powerful, and he's loving. And I always tell my children, God loves you. God loves you. He's always with you, regardless of what goes on. Don't ever, ever let go of God's unchanging hand. He has what you need, and he will never let you down.
Amen.
Amen.
He's always there, and he loves you. And when you can recognize that, when you're going through that storm, or you're in the desert, no matter how hard the pain is, God is there with you. And he's not going to let you go for so long. And then when he releases you, you're not the same. You're not the same. He has a way of doing things that you can't even describe it. But you know when you come out of it, that storm, it passes right over. It leaves a quietness in your life. And you say to yourself, why didn't I see that? He didn't intend for you to see it. He wanted you to go through it. When he brought you through it, then you have the know-how to accept him at all times. At all costs, God loves you. Thank you all so much.
Amen. Bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. I'm going to go to the next caller. Last four digits, 8521. 8521, you're on air.
Praise the Lord. Everybody.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. I gotta get this in quick because I'm at work. But yeah, I've been through a desert, and I'm gonna keep going through the desert. But as Brother Brandon say, it's about how you receive it when you're in that desert. How you act when you're in the desert. How you're gonna get out the desert. You need to have God with you all the time.
Amen.
I know. I constantly go through things over and over again because I haven't learned my lesson, but he gives me insight on what to do.
That's right.
So he constantly tells me to stay in the Word, read the Bible, get on the line when you can, and go back when you can't, you know. So he's always with me, and he's always going to be with me, and he's always going to help me through anything I go through. I rely on him fully. I trust in him with all my heart.
Mm.
All my heart.
Amen.
Now, that's my own understanding. I used to try to figure things out on my own, but I just go to God whenever I'm into something. When my kids ain't right, when things ain't going right, I just get on my knees and I pray and I ask him, and he gives me my answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I just
mm-hmm.
keep moving on. So it's all about receiving God and asking him, because we all have those tools.
That's right.
But we have to use them, and we have to wait and be patient, because everything is such a rush now that we don't wait. We can't wait on the Lord. He do things in his time, not our time. So,
amen.
Yes, I'm in the desert. I know I'll probably go back in the desert again, but I know how to get God know how to help me get out of the desert. Thank you guys
amen.
For listening. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Let me go to one more caller. And last four digits, 2409. 2409, you're on the air.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, my, everybody. I'm just listening in. Because we'll be out of breath once I start talking.
Amen. God bless you.
All right. Well, thank you for listening in. Pray that voice gets better. Sheila G, that's good Bible study, good comments tonight. Any last comments that you want to add and close us out in prayer, please?
The only thing I'm adding based off what we studied tonight is when God says go, go, and just let him lead, guide, direct your path. Because when we're out in that desert, we're there for a reason, and he wants to use us for his will, and to him be the glory. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for allowing us to have another Bible study lesson. Thank you, Father, for the ability to not just expound on your word, Lord, but to learn about what you put in the Bible and how we need to apply it to our lives, Lord. I pray for each and everyone that's on this call. I pray that you will touch them, give them peace. I pray for Cynthia that she's not feeling well, that you will help her, to give her strength and heal her body, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you and hear from you on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.